Joining us this morning in the studio is Dr. Mark Seeger. He is the Associate Dean of the Swenson College of Science and Engineering, and he's got an exciting discovery to explain to us that I tried earlier and I simply mangled, and I thought, why don't I let the experts do this? So, Dr. Seeger, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
You're an absolutely good sport. So, you've come up with some fellow astronomers working in Australia, and we'll talk about who these folks are, too, because there's a UMD connection there also, that allows folks to look at a spiral galaxy and estimate the mass of the central black hole. In the world of astronomy, that means a lot more to scientists than it does to a layman. Can you explain a little bit about your discovery?
Well, first of all, every galaxy that we look at seems to have a supermassive black hole at its center. So from a scientific perspective, we like to learn how the galaxies and the black holes evolve together over time. So coming up with this relationship, it's a really simple method just for determining how massive those supermassive black holes are. Previously, the only way you could determine how the size of those black holes was to use expensive telescope time You need a technique called spectroscopy that took an incredible amount of telescope time. Now all you need is an image, which is a lot quicker to get.
Wow.
One of the other things we did, we came up with a little cartoon schematic, so even like school children can try and overlay spiral arms on top of images of galaxies, and it will tell them what the mass of the black hole is at the center. So.
Okay, I'm kind of a school child when it comes to certain topics. I'm kind of excited about it. I want to get a hold of the schematic so I can give it a try myself.
I can send it to you.
Excellent. So you discovered some of this information on your own maybe a decade or so ago. So how did we get from the research that you had been doing to this new discovery?
So, yeah, the original paper that I published with, this is one. Before I came to UMD, I was at the University of Arkansas. I was faculty there. And it was a group of us worked on seeing if this relationship actually existed. And then the more recent paper is just really a confirmation with more up-to-date data that the relationship between the black holes and the spiral arms definitely does exist.
And one of the folks that worked on the paper is a former graduate student.
Yes, he was a graduate student of mine when I was in Arkansas, not at UMD, but yeah.
So this was somebody that you knew, and then the other person is in Australia at the University of Technology, and this was someone else that you had worked with for a long time.
The graduate student, his name is Ben Davis, and then there's a faculty at that university, Alistair Graham, who, I've known him for probably close to 20 years. So, and yeah, we've worked on other projects in the past as well.
When the world of astronomy comes out with a discovery like this, and people perhaps say to you, you know, kind of look at you blankly as you explain it, and they say, okay, well, what's the practical application of this here on Earth? Should we be looking for those, air quotes, practical applications? Or if we do that, are we missing the whole point?
Well, I think it's not always obvious what the practical application may have been, either now when we're doing pure scientific research, or even 100 years ago. And the example I always bring up is, in a 10-year period between 1905 and 1915, Albert Einstein worked on first his special theory of relativity and then the general theory of relativity. And if you asked him then what's the practical application, he would have had no clue. However, today we wouldn't have GPS satellites if it weren't for those theories. And that's just an example of how you don't necessarily know what the application is going to be 50 years from now.
And so to ask that question to an extent is kind of missing the point.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think it's also important to try and understand where the big picture may be going. I mean, there's probably a lot of scientific research going on in universities today where it's not obvious what the practical application is going to be. But more than likely, it could come that 50 years from now, or even 100 years from now, that we're applying science that's being developed today.
You're laying the groundwork for something. You just may not know what it is quite yet.
Yeah.
So, well, it's fascinating. And the opportunity to come up with something that kids can use is another way to get kids interested and involved in science, and for them to take maybe a really simple step, but for them to say, wow, I just, you know, the teacher leans over their shoulder and says, look at you, you just did science.
Well, that's the thing that motivates me more than anything, is getting young kids interested in science. You know, even if it turns out that there's no practical application for this, I've got some kids interested in science, and they might come to UMD or another university to study some kind of whatever scientific topic they're interested in, whether it's astronomy or civil engineering. If I've got them interested in science, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And what do you think about the way the sciences teach us to think, teach us to approach questions and problems that we face in our everyday life? I've got a minor in philosophy, which of course isn't going to get you very many jobs, but I was really interested in what I felt that taught me about thinking.
Well, I think science and technology degrees, they teach you those problem solving skills, the way to, you know, ask a question, collect data, and verify a hypothesis that a lot of employers find that they love the skills that scientists and engineers have developed during their 4 years here at UMD. Even if they're not necessarily looking for someone to do, to be a civil engineer or a physicist or an astronomer.
Even a graphic designer, for example, who maybe knows how to take a problem apart in that way.
Exactly, and that's why, you know, it's important for even, you know, the graphic designer or someone studying humanities to still take some science courses while they're here at UMD, because, you know, there's skills that you can develop taking those courses that employers love to see.
Right. But astronomers probably don't mind either.
Astronomers like it too, yeah.
So what are you working on next? Or is this the part where you say, you know, I get to exhale a little bit now, you know, we've published this paper and now I can kind of relax a little, or you're like, oh, now I've got time to work on fill in the blank.
Another student of mine who's actually, she's graduated now, but gone to the University of Arizona. She's actually, today's her first day there. We actually had a paper that had been submitted, so we're still waiting to hear back about that one. But I think there's some interesting results in that paper. Once it's published, maybe I can come back and tell you about it.
Oh, I'd love it. So you're not even going to give us a hint at this point. We have to wait for the paper to be published. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think the one hint I can say is that it appears that we can now, on computers, we can simulate very accurate galaxies for the first time.
And that's going to be another conversation that's going to be fascinating. So please stay in touch and let us know what's going on.
I will, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Mark Seeger, our guest in the studio, he is the Associate Dean of the Swenson College of Science and Engineering.